to Today's Woman. I'm Dana Clark, along with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, Today's Woman, about women's health and fertility, and provides a community for women to help one another. Sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, which supports women. This evening, we'll bring in 2015 with a healthy start mentally, physically, and financially. We'll also discuss how to manage your money in 2015. That's coming up next on Today's Woman on WJR.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. What's that even higher?
You're listening to Today's Woman with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. This evening, our focus will be on bringing in 2015 with a healthy start mentally, physically, and financially. In our fertility segment, Dr. Carol will talk about secondary fertility. We'll also speak with Alexa Elias, physician assistant and associate director of the new program called Healthy Start, a collaborative fitness, nutrition, and counseling program designed to keep women healthy. We'll also talk with Melissa Spickler, founder of Spickler Wealth Management Group, about managing our resources effectively in 2015 and beyond. If you'd like more information on fertility health or our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, visit mifertility.com or call 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431. Let's welcome in Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, fertility specialist. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Dana.
I think this is the last day, like, we can say Happy New Year. How long can you say it?
I don't know.
We haven't seen each other.
The month of January.
The whole month.
Yeah,
okay.
Christmas cards, I'm going to add Happy New Year, and I think I can still send them.
A combination thing.
Exactly.
So let's talk about secondary infertility tonight. Let's start off the show with that subject.
So secondary infertility. It's funny, not a lot of people know what the definition is. And essentially, it's where you've been able to have a child without any problem initially, and then all of a sudden you're going for baby number two or three or four, and you suddenly cannot get pregnant. And that's very important to know, because people who get pregnant the first time think, oh, it'll happen again, no problem. And they tend to, you know, take a little longer to see someone. So it's important to know that the definition is still the same as for primary. So the inability to get pregnant within a year of trying, if you're over 35, 6 months, if you're over 40 yesterday, those definitions still apply.
Now, why does that happen?
You know, we don't know for sure. It's possible that you were very blessed to have gotten pregnant the first time, and the underlying infertility issue has always been there, like male factor or regular periods. On the other hand, you're older when you're getting the second baby or the third baby, so maybe there's a factor with eggs. You might have had surgeries going on in between the first and the second or third child. So we need to pay attention to the same workup that we do for primary infertility. We still do the hormones and the structural evaluation of the sperm sample, but it could be a variety of reasons.
So the treatment options, as you mentioned, are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And also you mentioned as soon as you should go see, and that's if you've been trying to get pregnant for a year or 40 yesterday,
or if you're over 35, 6 months. So say you have two kids and you've got two little girls and you want that boy and you're trying.
And it's taken a year.
It's just taken a year. You know, please go see someone and not just think, oh, I've gotten pregnant a couple other times and it'll just be fine.
Yeah.
It may, in fact, be fine, but you need to make sure that you see a specialist.
Is it harder for people to seek help, especially if they already have a child? Because then you get those comments that you really don't need to hear, like, oh, don't worry about it. You already have two. And you said people feel bad about it, so sometimes they wait longer.
They do. You're right. And they take a little more time because there's a lot of emotions. Number one, they feel guilty that they already have a couple kids.
And they want more.
And they want more. And they see other people trying to have one. They get patients or people, friends, family telling them, oh, you should be happy with the two you have.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about having more children. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I guess my advice to couples is that you know in your heart when you're done, and I've had people who've had four or five children and still want more, and they deserve to have the opportunity to do that. So they do take longer because there's a guilt factor, there's pressure from family saying, you know, you have enough, enough's enough, but you know what's right for you and your family.
So how can a loved one help?
A loved one can help by listening, by being supportive, by being respectful and appreciating that their daughter or friend's journey is mm-hmm. their own. And if they want to have more kids, then they have the right to do the proper evaluation and treatment to figure out if it's something they can still have.
Okay, and we have a guest tonight to share her story. And Missy is on the line. Welcome to Today's Woman.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
So what brought you in to see Dr. Carol?
Well, actually, I came to her I had fertility issues from the get-go with my first child, my son. You know, I just was having trouble getting pregnant and trying everything under the sun. I was reading up about it, and it wasn't working for me, so I went and saw Mrs. Kowalczyk, Dr. Kowalczyk, and she helped me get pregnant with my first son. It was fairly easy the first time around. Mm-hmm. Did an IUI and some Clomid, and it seemed to kind of happen fairly quickly. And then, you know, I did have secondary fertility issues. Trying to get pregnant again, everybody said, oh, it's going to just happen. Your body knows exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. It's done it once before, so it's going to be no big deal. And lo and behold, I had trouble getting pregnant the second time around. And I thought, well, I'll go see Dr. Kowalczyk again. And it's going to be just as easy. You know, I'll just take a, you know, Clomid and do an IUI. And
because that happened the first time, right, Missy? You got pregnant with Clomid IUI the first cycle, right?
Yes, yeah, really, really quickly with my son. And then the second time when I came to see you to get pregnant again, it took a little more effort. It wasn't just in and out mm-hmm. type of deal. I ended up having to do IVF. And I've got two beautiful twins to show for it. But, you know, I was a little surprised coming back to see you. It didn't just happen, you know, as easily the second time around.
So, Missy, you're done now, right? Is that it?
I am. My family's complete. Yeah, it's official. I'm sending out a New Year's card, and it says, my family is complete.
Yay. We are blessed. Well, thanks so much, Missy, for joining us, and thank you for telling us your story. It makes a big difference for others listening. If you'd like more info, visit MIFertility.com or call 586-576-0431. We'll be right back on Today's Woman. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, we're discussing ways to be our best self mentally, physically, and financially in this new year. Visit MIFertility.com to learn more about our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Alexa Elias is here with us. She's a physician assistant and associate director of Healthy Start, a program of fitness, nutrition, and counseling being offered at the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Healthy Start is designed to keep patients healthy on all levels so they can be their very best self. Tell us a little bit about Healthy Start, Alexa.
Healthy Start is a program that we've brought into the practice that is trying to really incorporate an overall healthy lifestyle for our patients, not only those trying to conceive, but everybody in general. We're really trying to target not only diet and exercise, but the emotional aspect of it and some of the common struggles women go through. And a big aspect that we try to really include is trying to make it reasonable for everyday life. Some diet programs out there and fitness regimens can be really straining and taxing, which can be really difficult. So we're trying to help people incorporate into their life and really have an overall lifestyle change rather than a fad diet or fitness program.
And so, you know, when you and I worked together and we developed Healthy Start, making the program different from other diet plans, and where you, when you practiced in Pennsylvania, one of the things that I tried to do is make sure that we encompassed both counseling for the nutritional piece for patients, how to fit exercise in, but also pay attention to the emotional side. So when you see a patient in the office, how are we different, if you could share with the listeners, different in attacking those three areas? Say, for example, there is a nurse who does 3-12s and she's not allowed to eat while she's taking care mm-hmm. of patients on the floor. Maybe if you can share with the listeners how we how our program is different with other programs in helping that nurse to fit diet, exercise, and the emotional piece.
Yes. So it can be a little intimidating, especially for someone with a more strenuous schedule, to kind of delve into trying to change their lifestyle in that way. So what we try to do that I think is a big difference that I've seen from other things that people have tried and maybe failed at is really try to incorporate the diet, the exercise piece into their daily life. So, for example, if a nurse is someone who works 3-12, we really try to focus on, yes, the positive changes to make to the diet and whatnot, but doing it in a way that requires prep, bringing meals and snacks to work, something that's not totally and 100% limiting. So the focus really isn't, you can't have this, you can't do that, you have to follow this very, very strictly. It's more about, like I said, a lifestyle change, and we really focus on ways to actually make the lifestyle changes. So, for example, having Sunday be your day to prepare all your foods and snacks so that the things that you want to eat that are good for you are readily available. Same with the exercise. It's a little unrealistic to assume that everyone has the time and the availability to go to the gym 5 days a week for an hour. So we try to highlight things that you can do at home, stress the fact that doing increments of exercise, so maybe 10 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes at night, accumulating things for the day are also, you know, going to get you towards your goals. So it really helps people to feel a little less stressed when they know that there's still ways they can accomplish these goals without following things that may not really work out for their daily life. And then with the emotional aspect, you know, offering that service, I can't even tell you how many people do take that up in terms of meeting with a therapist or even just from our conversations in the office. A lot of it is stress eating, you know, high stress jobs, emotions, things like that that trigger maybe some of these habits. A common thing we see also is maybe having one bad day and feeling really discouraged or feeling like, gosh, I screwed everything up. So being able to communicate with them when we're sitting down, as well as offering those services, and we do communicate through email. So sometimes we'll just get an email saying, you know, I had a little tough time during the holidays, but I feel back on track. Just giving that support really makes it a little more welcoming, I think, and also a little more attainable for an everyday life.
And I think you hit the nail on the head with that one, Alexa, because, you know, life's a journey. It's not a destination. And every day is a new day. I even find with myself, you know, here's January, our New Year's resolutions, that everyone has the, oh, I'm going to eat carrots every day, and I'm going to go walk 30 minutes, 3 days a week. And then life happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that doesn't happen, and you can't get
then
that 30
minutes. And you say, oh, forget it.
Yeah, and you say, oh, forget yeah. it. And to make a new life habit, it was a 21 days of doing something
yeah.
consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently. So, you know, I would say, you know, for me even, it's hard to fit it all in. So I'm like, you know what, if I can get 5 sit-ups in.
Yeah, that's better than nothing.
It's better than
exactly.
nothing. And I'd be happy with my 5 sit-ups, my 2 push-ups, my, you know, I took the stairs from the 2nd to the 3rd floor at the hospital. With the snacks, I mean, you can put
uh-huh.
some nuts in your pocket. Or some mm-hmm. celery sticks in the pocket, and you could kind of go into the nursing station and have the little protein and little healthy carb going on, and know it's not a sit down meal, but you know, you can kind of, I don't want to say sneak, but you can have that 5 minutes to consume those things even on a busy 12. So
yeah,
and if you had
ways to do it.
Yeah, and if you had a bad day, you know what? That's why God made mornings. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? It's a new start. It's a new slate, and don't beat yourself up if you don't do what's on your scheduled perfect plan, and be a little kinder to yourself, and every day is a new start.
Exactly.
My question,
and I stress that a lot.
Oh, Alexa, I have a question. What are
yeah.
you looking for? Should you be counting calories or should you be counting fat?
So what I tend to focus on more so is not really a counting calorie or necessarily a counting fat regimen. We kind of are following more of a balancing act, and there is a good resource that we use that really focuses on, you know, balancing your carbohydrates with your proteins in general, not to get into too much detail. Ideally, you know, having about 30 grams of carbs in balance with about 14 grams of protein, if you can kind of keep that range, and then the fats that you're eating, doing things in moderation and choosing healthier fats, eating more smaller meals through the day, you'll tend to see, one, you don't need to obsess over the calories and count them so precisely.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows your body to kind of maintain a stable metabolism through the day so that you're not seeing these spikes of the insulin and the blood sugar, which kind of can promote the weight gain and the fat storage in individuals. So I think that's one thing that people also enjoy. We do use a calorie counting app, but more for the purpose of them to monitor how many carbs they're getting in comparison to the protein, in comparison to the fat. And just it makes you a little more conscious about, oh, gee, I was going to eat this Whopper that was 1,800 calories. but I don't stress, like, this is your calorie goal, per se.
Mm-hmm.
From the people who submit their submissions to me, I very rarely see someone going out of the calorie range, because really, if you're making choices like that, you're choosing good carbs, good lean proteins, good fats that aren't the ones that are going to promote atherosclerosis and things like that. Really, it kind of evens out. The fad diets tend to focus on zero carbs or all fats, and then what you'll see is, yeah, you'll see weight loss, of course, but then as soon as you kind of try to transition back into regular lifestyle and bring everything back in, you typically have weight gain. So.
And I have images of you brushing your teeth, doing squats in the bathroom.
Oh, my gosh. Are you
serious? The last time we had you on the show. So, I mean, you've gotten very creative of getting your lunges from the dining room to the kitchen and the squats. So the other thing to bring out with exercise is that sometimes you can get a bigger bang for your buck if you do weight training. And we mm-hmm. don't have, as women, enough testosterone in our bodies to bulk up like our guy counterparts. So, you know, cardio is good, but it has a faster calorie burn and it doesn't last as long. So for the listeners out there doing some weight training and things like major multiple muscle group activities like lunges and squats and those kind of things, I think might also you find you'll get a better longer calorie burn throughout the day.
Absolutely. The combination of the both, you know, a little cardio, a little bit of the weight resistance, and it doesn't have to necessarily be extreme bodybuilding, but some resistance training is really the ideal scenario for, you know, healthy lifestyle and weight loss.
And how much quickly is age a factor? Because I'm sadly running into that right now where you're like just, you know, getting to 40, slightly over 40, and you exercise, you eat right, but then you've gained 10 pounds and you don't know where it's coming from.
Well, Alexa, I don't know if you know this, but you decrease about 10% of your metabolism per decade.
Oh,
so
oh,
that's
gosh.
That little medical piece.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. you lose about 10% of your metabolic abilities per decade. So with that being said, Alexa, you know, what do you tell patients who are...
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be those natural changes that occur, and I kind of stress to people, you sometimes have to reevaluate your goals. You know, you may not have the exact same scenario that you maybe had 10 or 15 years ago. However, ultimately the goal you could still strive towards. I mean, really what we're trying to do here, we're talking about a lot of weight loss and stuff, which is great, and that's what we're... But really it's just primarily as a healthy lifestyle long-term overall.
Okay, Alexa, thank you so
much. Thank you, Alexa.
You can see Alexa at the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Give her a call, 586-576-0431. Coming up next, Managing Your Money with Melissa Spickler. That's next on Today's Woman on WJR. You're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Now, tonight we've been talking this evening to talk about secondary infertility, staying healthy, mind, body, and spirit. And now we'll review ways to manage our money with Melissa Spickler of Spickler Wealth Management. The show is sponsored by Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. You can visit MIFertility.com to learn more or just give us a call at 586-576-0431.
So, Dana, I'm very excited to introduce Melissa Spickler. And with the New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. we worry about our diet, our
money.
Exercise. But, yeah, I mean, we're getting ready for the new year, and we want to make sure we're financially sound and stable. Mm-hmm. And we women juggle it all.
Yeah.
And men and women need to be conscious of their money. But I'm very excited that Melissa's going to be here today to help talk to us about how to do that. Now, Melissa is the founder of the Spickler Wealth Management Group, and this group helps guide clients to pursue their financial goals or aspirations. And Melissa is a graduate from the Michigan State University with a bachelor's degree in criminal law, and she was once an undercover agent for the Michigan Attorney General joining Merrill Lynch in 1980 and starting her own firm. You go, girl. I love it. So tell me, you've had an exciting career path. How did you eventually decide to choose this profession?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I think the profession found me. I had a myriad of jobs after working undercover for 4 years, and ultimately I met a few people who said that I would be good in the financial industry and that they had no women mm-hmm. in 1980
wow.
that were stockbrokers. And I made one quick phone call to E.F. Hutton back in the day, to see if they would do an interview with me. And you know what they said? They don't hire women.
Mm, oh. Wow, how rude.
Ooh.
At least keep that to yourself.
No, that's wow. You go, girl, I'm telling you.
I went right to Merrill Lynch, and 4 hours later, I told the gentleman that was interviewing me that I wasn't leaving until you hire me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 34 years ago.
I got to try that on my next job interview. I'm not leaving until you hire me.
It worked for me.
It worked for you. So you're noted for making a connection for women between their health and wealth. Tell me more about that.
I think the most important thing in life is developing relationships, no matter what career you are in. And with this career, I've got great, great families, great clients. But what's happened is some of these clients have gotten older and older, and husbands are not living as long as the wives. Things have changed so dramatically with the way the health of our clients has been directed, meaning in the olden days, they might not have lived as long, but now they're living longer with medication. And I honestly had my own situation with two parents developing dementia within the same time frame. Mm-hmm. And I realized that until you're touched by the health and wellness side of things,
mm-hmm.
you manage your life differently and you take care of your clients completely differently. So I became so in tune with making sure that my clients understood what their financial situations were, that they'd have enough money in case, unfortunately, something like this took place in their lives, that they had no idea about nursing homes, nursing care, caregivers at home. I decided to make that an expertise mm-hmm. 5-6 years ago because nobody was talking about it.
So,
and if you don't talk about it, you're not educated.
Right. So what advice do you give women who are concerned about the financial well-being of their adult children and grandchildren?
Well, the number one thing I often recommend is to take a look at themselves. A lot of times people think they have enough money to live on for the rest of their lives, but the reality is when you have an emergency set in, you never think about yourself, and you may end up going through so much money and so much cash to care for others, whether it's your own parents or your children or your husband. I recommend that a lot of these women take a look at getting long-term care for themselves. They have a tendency to buy insurance for their home and for their car and everything except the most important person, them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melissa, to be honest, I'm just totally intimidated by numbers. And so, mm-hmm. you know, there's so much information out there about how you should do this, 401k, stocks, bonds, all this stuff. How do we sift through all of this to get some confidence on dealing with these number issues? Because for me, I'm just totally intimidated, so I just want to avoid it.
I don't think just women are intimidated by it. I think a lot of people are, because if you're doing what you do every day and you're great at what you do, this is supposed to be my job, my bailiwick.
Mm-hmm.
I think the number one thing people need to find is somebody they trust.
Okay.
And somebody that, not so much about, you know, here's my money and go ahead and invest it, but develop a relationship with somebody who takes your interests to heart and actually can empathize or understand what your wishes are and what your needs are. I think if you aren't able to articulate to somebody who you are and what you're hoping for out of life,
mm-hmm.
how do you have a relationship with them and they're going to also handle your money? I think the most important thing is to understand what we as women or even men are looking for. What do we want?
So if there's a family and a woman comes to see you with her husband and she's 45, they've got two kids getting ready to go to college. I mean, how do you advise them to say, okay, you need this much money to be saved to be comfortable? Is there like an algorithm or a calculation you guys do with a family in that situation?
Actually, that's a great question. It's the way every one of my meetings starts. It's funny you should ask that. I think the most important question to ask clients is, what do you need to live on today? And then you are able to work backwards into that number. by looking out into the next 20, 25 years based on retirement. But before I even get to that number, I think I have both clients tell me what their wishes are. Specifically, you know, do they want to leave money to their children? Do they want to leave money to a charity? Everything that client, and sometimes men and women think totally differently. So I think there's an interview process that must happen so you understand who you're talking to. Some clients don't want to make their children pay for their own education, whereas a husband says, no, I'm going to pay for it, and or they're going to take a loan out. There's just so many different categories that these interviews fall under, and I think you really need to understand the dynamic between the two of them before you can even make a recommendation.
And what are some common mistakes people make in managing their money? What should we avoid doing?
Well, the number one mistake is people don't think out of the box, and they don't think long term. They live in the moment, and they don't get the trusted advice they should before they make some big decisions. It could be buying another home. It could be buying a second home. It could be taking out a loan unnecessarily, and then you never end up paying it back. Student loans, sometimes people need to dig a little bit deeper to find out what's behind the scenes on some of the student loans and the payback scenarios. Sometimes people are overinsured and they don't need as much insurance as they have. And then there's others that don't have any insurance and don't think that if, God forbid, something happened to them, would their family be taken care of? And they don't have buckets where they have X amount of dollars they save for education and well-being, and they don't have emergency money on hand. So I think those are important things that people need to think about and not just live day to day. You have to think longer term.
Melissa, thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you go, give us your information if somebody can reach you or if they want to set up some counseling with you.
Thank you. That would be great. It's Melissa Spickler, and the phone number is 248-645-7126.
Okay.
And where are you located?
I'm in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
So if somebody needs to figure out their money or have you be undercover for them, they can give you a call.
Excellent. I'll just stick to investigating.
Yeah, right, investigating money.
Oh, my God. And quickly, what's your New Year's resolution for 2015?
To become better and better at everything I touch.
All right. That sounds good to me. Thanks so much for taking time to speak to us tonight, Melissa. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Melissa.
We'll be right back on Today's Woman on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. She's a fertility specialist and, of course, a doctor. I'm Dana Clark. Now's the time to discuss a day in the life.
Again.
Again. The show is sponsored by Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. To learn more, visit mifertility.com or give Dr. Carol a call at 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431. Well, what a great show. It goes so fast. We talked about health, financial well-being in 2015. Let's talk about some resolutions now.
Sounds good.
I know we all have them, so you get us started first. Now, what's your New Year's resolution for 2015?
Well, I've got a couple, Dana.
Okay.
And one of it is, like, when I talk to Alexa, you know, life is a journey, not a destination. Mm-hmm. So along those lines, I need to try to get, you know, healthier with the crazy schedules that we have. So I'm really working on trying to have a more nutritious, healthier diet, trying to fit exercise in my day and take a little more time for me. We as women are just programmed to take care of everyone else. And you'll find that you probably already found is once the meals are made and the job is done and you get home to your second job, it is now 10:30 at night and you forgot to eat well and you didn't do any kind of exercise at all. So please don't think that that's a selfish thing to do. You need, if the queen of the ship is not ship shape, the rest of the ship will fall apart. So
you didn't mess that up.
That's right. Say that three times fast, right? So you need to take care of yourself, and it's not a selfish thing to do. And many women feel guilty, or they put the nutrition or the exercise pieces on the side. And you need to realize that you need to take care of yourself and be as strong as you are, because the whole dynamics of the family and the household stems from the mom. So I'm going to try to take that time for myself to eat better and try to work out more. The other thing is, for people who know me, mm-hmm. Dana, mm-hmm. I'm pretty intense. Yeah. And if my cheese is moved, I don't,
like it.
So one of my New Year's resolutions is to try to realize that as often as I can, and to say, okay, this isn't how my day has been planned. It's not the direction I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Take a moment, take a breath, and go through the journey. And someone move the cheese, it's okay. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. It's still going to be a good day. And to give, to not be so intense, that's another one of my resolutions. How about you?
Well, you know what? At the top of my list, and this may seem like it's, you know, something really small, but I'm really going to try to slow down. And I have a habit of cutting people off in talking, because I'm so excited mm-hmm. about the conversation that I just want to jump right in there. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I end up speaking over that person. So I guess because this is, you know, I'm in this type of business, I shouldn't really be cutting people off. So that's one thing that I'm going to definitely try, just slow down. Like you said, just, you know, take it easy, take a chill pill, chillax. Everything's going to be okay. Of course, at the top of my list, every year, well, not at the top, but on the list, losing weight. Mm. You know, now it's okay, 10 pounds.
That's right.
10 pounds, lose weight, eat better, because you feel so guilty after the holidays, and it's just one holiday into another. Thanksgiving, Christmas, then parties, then I have three birthdays, then there's New Year's Day. So I just don't really want to continue to eat bad stuff. So I have already started to, you know, pack carrots and nuts, like you mentioned. I have to make sure that I get in my exercising several times a week. But I usually don't make resolutions. I usually make goals.
There you go.
Which I find is a little bit harder a little less hard to try to actually stick to. And so I usually write down 15 goals. Like I try to match year. Yes, I never get to all of them. So they just carry over.
Your 2015 bucket list.
Right. They just carry over into the next time. But I think what you said is very important, just really making time for ourselves and not putting ourselves last. Mm-hmm. So maybe that should be at the top of our list.
And don't feel guilty about it. Feel guilty about it. And it doesn't need to be, you know, the beauty of woman is that we don't need several hours to mm-hmm. rejuvenate. Mm-hmm. We need, you know, the 3 10-minute exercise sessions, or having 10 minutes, like the last guest we had that mm-hmm. said, have a cup of tea and sit down for 10 minutes in the morning and give yourself that time. It is going to do a world of difference. And, you know, it's a journey, mm-hmm. not a destination.
Right.
Okay, you don't get the goal of, you know, again, you said you lose 10 pounds. Well, maybe it should be a pound a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think 10 pounds and you think, oh my God, I got to get it done.
Right.
Well, you know, break it into little pieces and say, you know what, for the month of January, if I'm down a pound, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then February is another one.
Yeah.
And you know what? February doesn't happen. Oh, well, we got March.
Yeah.
It's okay. And don't ever stop giving up trying to do these mm-hmm. healthier things, you know, for 2015.
And you know what I heard too, I'm sure Alexa would say the same thing too, that even if you exercise 10 minutes at a time 3 times a day, mm-hmm. you know, if you break it down, because you think 30 minutes, I don't have 30 minutes, but you might have 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 15 minutes there. And that makes it more manageable to be able to try to fit it all in, because it just seems like everything is competing mm-hmm. for our time. So, you know, just some tips there. We'd like to hear from all of our listeners. If they have some great resolutions that they're doing, they can hit you up on Facebook.
That would be great.
Right.
I'd love to hear
them. Any questions, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. And again, if you have February, we're going to be having another great show and opening up to questions that fertility patients have. And so if you have anything you want to ask mm-hmm. me, please put it on Facebook or call, and we will address those things, you know, in our next show. And Valentine's Day.
I know. That's a free consultation if they can ask you a question. I'm serious.
Yes,
get on it.
Exactly.
A free consultation with Dr. Carol. Yes, it's already going to be Valentine's Day. The time is flying. So do you have any plans? What do you usually do? I usually am very low-key.
I am too. And what my husband and I like to do is have a special meal.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have a nice bottle of wine, or mm-hmm. we will have a, open up some champagne mm-hmm. and make a special meal that we enjoy with the kids. With the kids. I know.
Well, you love them too.
I do. So, what we'll do is we'll have a date night, and
okay.
it usually is not on Valentine's.
Right.
Because,
it's too crowded to go out.
Exactly. So Valentine's Day, we usually hang out, stay home, do something with the
mm-hmm.
kids. And then somewhere in that week, he and I will have a nice date night, go out to dinner. Sometimes we try to do that couples massage. Remember the last couple of shows we
yes.
talked about? I think we had Margot on last show, and she does a fabulous job. So sometime in the month of February,
mm-hmm.
we would do that couples massage.
Okay, and also if someone doesn't have a special someone, because not everybody does, but as you mentioned, anybody could be a special someone. Your mom, anyone you love, you can do, just leave a little note for them, make them a little treat, something different, but you can treat yourself. It can be a day for you, as we mentioned, be a little more selfish. You can set up a whole day of pampering, and they can come right to the Michigan Center for Fertility, right?
There we go, the InHarmony Wellness Center.
That's
there
right.
You go. You can go ahead and get a massage or a facial at our wellness center, anywhere, and you make a good point, Dana, because Valentine's Day usually is thought of as a couple's
mm-hmm,
holiday,
but
you know what? It's a beautiful day if you have a good friend you want to hang out with, or your mom or a sister or whatever. You know what? Just take a day and just treat yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you deserve it, because you need to know that you're important.
And
in taking
even just see, I cut you off.
That's okay.
That didn't last long.
Okay, we're the same.
Cross that off the list. Okay, or you can just, call five people. I love you. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's something that you can do great for Valentine's Day, because it is all about love. So next month, what are we doing? We're talking about what in February? Love languages, possibly.
That is one of the topics we're going to do. Valentine's Day is in February, so it's the love, romance,
mm-hmm.
affection month. And,
okay.
and one of the things that we're going to hopefully bring back is Claire Mauhogan. She is my counselor at Michigan Center, but she also is very, very knowledgeable about the five love languages.
Mm,
so she
mm-hmm.
gave us a little tidbit about it last cycle and our last interview with her. So hopefully we'll have more information there. Plus, again, I'm going to be doing a lot of question and answer about
okay.
general fertility stuff, I think. And then we've got a couple more surprises.
Yeah, and they can get those questions in now.
Yeah,
they can get them in now. Okay, well, let me give the information. 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431. Or you can visit mifertility.com with that.
You go, girl. What doesn't kill you makes you